It's Reese on the radio.
Brent,
don't say we didn't warn you. On News Talk 1080, WTIC.
Between rounds.
And it is time for us to announce our Between Rounds winner. And Catherine C. is going to be winning a dozen bagels a month for 6 months, courtesy of Between Rounds, the Bagel Bakery and Sandwich Cafe, located in South Windsor, Vernon, and Manchester. So if you'd like to win, you got to go online. Got to go to reeseontheradio.com. That's R-E-E-S-E on the radio.com. And go there and then fill out the form. Make sure you put in your telephone number and, of course, your birth date's got to be in there so that you can get a chance to win. Yeah, we'll take care of it, and then you'll get a dozen bagels a month for 6 months. Must live in the state of Connecticut and cannot have won within the last 6 months. So if you've won in the last 6 months, you can apply again. And I want to see more of you, you know? We put that stuff up there on ReeseOnTheRadio.com for you, you know, you people. But yeah, if you want to go there, you can. And send me a message. We got a story idea, something going on. You want to ask my opinion? You can go there. Friend us on Facebook as well. Not that I don't have enough people who contact me on Facebook, but I really, really like using Facebook, at least for this show and for other stuff that I post, giving you guys previews of upcoming shows. So if you want to do that, please do. Also, in a couple of seconds, I want to get the guys, Mark Christopher and Jason Katerina, if they want to say some kind words or their experience with listening to Black Sabbath or Ozzy Osbourne and what he meant to them musically or as an icon for me. I mean, I remember watching his early 2000 reality show, as many people did. That was my real introduction into Ozzy. I didn't know he was that kind of a quirky guy, but I loved that show. Wasn't really into the music, but I'm familiar with it. I just wasn't into a lot of that metal stuff, but I'm sure these guys are. Let's get to them. Jason Katerina has got weather, and Mark Christopher, he's in the BPS Traffic Center. I assumed that Black Sabbath was in your repertoire growing up.
Not at all.
No!
No.
Really? Were you a disco or a regular, like, hair band guy?
You know, I like Van Halen, Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin. Never really got into Black Sabbath.
Too edgy for you?
I'm just not a heavy metal guy.
Okay.
I like horn bands.
President of the Chris Murphy Fan Club, Reese on the Radio, on News Talk 1080, WTIC.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. Now, and again, I told you all, folks, don't doubt me. Doubt me if you wanna. I do this every day, and I want to thank. Let me applaud all of you who say to me every day, Reese, you are so well researched. And I am. I am always well researched. You want to know why? Because the research never stops. Never. Never stops. Even when I'm doing the show, I'm still researching. Because I need to make sure that everything I tell you just slaps up all the naysayers. Just slap them up. Slap them up on a regular basis. I love it. So I'm going to give all of you an opportunity to do something, okay? To do the research that I do every day. I want you to go to 5 days ago. 5 days ago. And I want you to go to ABC News. 5 days ago. The headline on the article. I'll say it for you again. So for those of you out there, you researchers out there, here's the headline. What we know and don't know about Jeffrey Epstein, according to key victim's attorney. Again, what we know and don't know about Jeffrey Epstein, according to key victim's attorney. Victims, plural. Not one victim. Victims, plural. Let's go one step further. Brad Edwards knows that what you are about to read may be difficult for some to accept. A victim's rights lawyer from Florida, Edwards, has been in pursuit of the truth about financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's life and crimes for nearly two decades. He would be the first to say that Epstein caused incalculable damage to trauma and trauma to hundreds of women and girls. In fact, long before Epstein became known worldwide for his crimes, Edwards persistently told a federal judge that because of Epstein's deviant appetite for young girls combined with his extraordinary wealth and power, he may be the most dangerous predator in U.S. history. That was 17 years ago, Edwards said. But back then, hardly anyone listened. In the years since, Edwards and his co-counsel on behalf of Epstein's victims have sued Epstein, his estate, and the federal government and several financial institutions recovering hundreds of millions of dollars for more than 200 survivors. Again, recovering millions of dollars for more than 200 survivors of Epstein's sex abuse and trafficking. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Brad Edwards, the attorney for over 200 of Epstein's victims.
Obviously, our current president has had relationships with Epstein in the past, and there are those, Katie Johnson and maybe other victims who have accused Trump of being involved in things like this. In my experience, Trump supporters will not listen to anything along those lines. Obviously, we're not a court of law here right now, but are those claims of those, that case was dropped, it was dropped before it went to court. In your opinion as a lawyer and your experience, is there anything you can say as to the validity of those claims or whether or not there will be any, you know, any more about that?
Nothing at all. The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us and that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
And that was in 2009?
That was in 2009. So,
do you know if there's any truth to James Patterson's claims that Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago?
Definitely.
Shut up now. Shut up now. Simple and plain. Go home. Go bye-bye. That guy's the authority. Not me. Definitely not you. That guy's the authority. He represented over 200 victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And in an interview where he was asked plainly whether or not Donald Trump had any involvement, the guy who's getting hundreds of millions of dollars for victims said no. Nope. He gave us, we asked for a deposition. He said, nah, come on by. We'll talk whatever you want. He was one of the only people who came forward. One of the only people who came forward. So what you got? This is a guy, and ABC News did an article on him 5 days ago. 5 days ago. Where, again, what did I say to you when I talked about this the other day? Anybody talking to the victims? Anyone? Anyone? No. No one is. No one's even talking about him. Brad Johnson, again, in an article by ABC News. And in that article, there's nothing about Donald Trump. Brad Edwards is being interviewed in this long, very long piece. Nothing in this article has Brad Edwards, the attorney for over 200 victims. He's even talking about Donald Trump. And as you heard from his own mouth, Donald Trump was the only person who came forward after all of the people that they tried to reach out to while he's securing millions of dollars for his clients. Says Donald Trump was the only person in 2009 who came forward. Yeah, that proved nothing, huh? Yeah, that made no sense. Okay. I tried, but I guess it means nothing. That's the cover-up. I just want to, and again, look, if you're in a chat room, please explain to me what the cover-up is. Please explain to me what the cover-up is. You didn't have that. You didn't even know who Brad Edwards was. I did. I've had that video in my archives for years. All I did was go in and search it. Brad Edwards. Popped right up. Had it sitting there. Why? Because we talked about this during the Biden administration. Yeah. Okay, but I get it. Yes, Trump came forward. Again, with what? The guy who is getting money for his victims obviously did not implicate him. Please tell me something other than just repeating the same nonsense.
You all right? You said that?
What's going on, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, sir.
Good, good. Hey, is someone going to read the ticket, the Yard Ghost ticket? Remember I won?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me put you on hold. Again, this is the part that everybody gets stuck on. This is always the part that people get stuck on. You can hand them all the information that you can, and no one's got a response. They all seem to be stuck on stupid now. ABC News does an article, full page. We're talking like there's got to be at least 2,000 words in this. And Brad Edwards is communicating. Why? Because he's representing actual victims to the tune of 200 folks. But yet none of his clients, and they can't get a client to implicate the person who you guys keep suggesting is a part of it. That's all it is. The Brad Edwards piece, by the way, comes from, I think it was like 2022 or something like that. I think it was roughly around that time. I'll actually get the time stamp on that video when that came out, or at least when I grabbed it. But I don't remember anybody saying anything after the fact. In fact, what does that say? No, I reshared it on January of 2024. So according to this, if I look at the properties on that video, which should tell me exactly when I took it, this was, yeah, January 4th of 2024. Yeah, that was when I got that video. So someone's going to have to explain to me how the guy who's representing hundreds of women led to no implication to the President of the United States. Someone's going to have to help me there. Because in one breath they're saying, and let me read the comments in here. In one breath they're saying, of course Trump came forward. And then to say, of course he didn't implicate he was involved. Why would he come forward? Why would he not speak with his attorneys? Donald Trump is a legitimate businessman with billions of dollars, asked to speak to a lawyer while they're trying to get information. And this attorney is actually civilly looking to get money for his clients. And Donald Trump decides to meet with him without an attorney? Chooses not to be deposed?
Obviously, our current president has had relationships with Epstein in the past, and there are those Katie Johnson and maybe other victims who have accused Trump of being involved in things like this. In my experience, Trump supporters will not listen to anything along those lines. Obviously, we're not a court of law here right now, but are those claims of though that case was dropped, it was dropped before it went to court. In your opinion as a lawyer and your experience, is there anything you can say as to the validity of those claims or whether or not there will be any, you know, any more about that?
Nothing at all. The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know, and was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, and that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
And that was in 2009?
That was in 2009. So,
do you know if there's any truth to James Patterson's claims that Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's also the James Patterson thing. Writer, novelist, you know, that guy James Patterson also came out and said that Donald Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago? Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You got nothing. You got nothing. And I told you that you're going to be left flat-footed. I warned you. Brad Edwards, 200 clients, got him millions of dollars. Interestingly enough, nothing. Nothing on the president. Weird. It's funny how you don't even mention it. Let's take another break. Got news, weather, traffic. Jason Catarina and Mark Christmas at the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
Stay locked in. Locked in. Reese on the radio is on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
All right, we are back. We got weather and traffic coming up in a little bit. I'm watching Tulsi Gabbard on TV saying that new documents are going to be released. I will say this. I thought this was interesting, right? So while I was laying out all of this stuff about the DNI report and about Barack Obama's involvement, liberals are in a chat room saying this, and I quote, this is a distraction. Noticeably, they're not calling it a lie. I want you to pay attention to that. They won't call it a lie. They cannot. So calling it a distraction, you heard the news media, as we played at the top of the hour, Dave Mager, CBS News, is talking about he seemed to distract or divert attention from. No one is saying what's in the Tulsi Gabbard report is a lie. They're always just saying that, oh, it was meant to distract or to deflect. No one is saying what he said about Barack Obama was a lie. And that is worth noting. Because they can't. So trying to keep the pressure on this story shows exactly what the problem is. And don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. I don't have a problem with people getting ahead of their skis. It always comes back to bite them. And you know it does. Huh? Huh? Didn't we have a Border Patrol agent shot in the face in New York? Where's all the protests now? Looks bad, don't it? Huh? What happened? Didn't we have like 12 people arrested for trying to ambush Border Patrol? I mean, ICE officers? What happened? Remember? It was me who told everybody last week. Right? Ralph in South Carolina called up and says, I think it's going to get worse. And I said, no, it's not. Not after that. I said, that's going to die right off. And sure enough, what happened? Where's the story at? Is it anywhere? Anyone? As soon as somebody takes it too far, everybody's got it. Nope, nope, not working. Get out of here. Poll numbers went down. Now everybody's got to bounce. They try it. Doesn't work. Polling numbers go bad. News media can't really cover up for that kind of violence. Everybody goes home. No Teslas are burning, are they? Anybody? Any more stories about Teslas on fire? No. I wonder why. Yeah, all of this is political theater. All of this is. Just a bunch of novices who think that this is the one that's going to get them. This is the one that's going to get them. Never gets them. When we come back, I'm also going to talk about Democrats in the state. Are they really going to give the keys to the kids in Connecticut? Are these 70-something-year-old folks? DeLauro? Lamont? Are they going to give up the keys to the kingdom to the kids? We'll talk about it. Plus your phone calls at 860-522-WTIC. Let's get some check of the weather and traffic. Jason Catarina and Mark Christopher's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
The self-proclaimed love child of Rush Limbaugh.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Reese on the radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Get to your phone calls in a little bit, but I need to get the show on the road. I want to say also Donald Trump is released on Truth Social. Breaking news. We have just achieved a big and important win in our historic lawsuit against 60 Minutes. CBS and Paramount. Just like ABC and George Stephanopoulos, CBS and its corporate owners knew that they defrauded the American people when they and were desperate to settle. Paramount, CBS, 60 Minutes have today paid $16 million in settlement, and we also anticipate receiving $20 million more from the new owners in advertising, PSAs, public service announcements, or similar programming, for a total of over $36 million. This is another in a long line of victories over the fake news media. We are holding to account for their widespread fraud and deceit. Wall Street Journal, the failing New York Times, the Washington Post, MSDNC, CNN, and all other mainstream media liars are on notice that the days of them being allowed to deceive the American people are over. Make America great again. Now, I just want to say that the biggest problem that people are having with this is because they believe that this is some sort of totalitarian behavior. Not that I need to tell them that they're wrong. But they're going to have to clear up how indeed that is. Because they can still continue to do what they're doing. Stephen Colbert, yesterday on his Late Late Show, even though he's been fired, went right to the camera and told the President of the United States, go blank yourself. There are people who stand right outside of the White House with tents that say, F Donald Trump, in front of the White House. I just want to know whether or not somebody like, I don't know, President Maduro would allow that to happen. Do you think that they would be able to do that in front of the place where Vladimir Putin lives? Would they be allowed? Because it seems like everybody is all over everywhere talking about how their freedom of speech is in jeopardy while they continue to speak about their freedom of speech. I don't get it, but maybe I'm missing something. Maybe one of these knuckleheads will tell me what it is I'm missing, but I doubt it. Now, let's get back to the show. Connecticut Democrats can't agree on whether it's time for change. Democrats have been delivering state party chair says liberals say people are struggling. Now, this article that was in the Hartford Current a couple of days ago is breaking down how the old guard needs to go. I understand Ben Proto has actually chimed in on this article. Ben, with all due respect, stop. Stay out. Stay out of this one. Okay? Making a comment about whether or not Josh Elliott thinks that he can Mondami Connecticut. He's got another thing coming. With all due respect, critics in this state believe you'd only help him. So pause. Pause a little bit. With all due respect, I don't know you. You don't know me. I got no beef with you. You don't want no beef with me. But stay out. This is one of those topics you need to bounce from. Unless you decide that you want to get with the program, please step aside. Again, this is not disrespect. Just please don't opine about this. If Josh Elliott's got a chance of being governor of this state, okay, the only thing you're going to prove by opining about this, about jumping in, is suggesting that you're going to help Lamont stay in power. That's not a good thing. Maybe you don't understand that. Stay out of it. Okay? You're not helping Republicans. But then again, maybe that's the idea. Anyway, I move on. I don't want to get too deep. Because I could go there. But I'm not going to go too deep. There's a problem right now in the Democrat Party of Connecticut. And that's because everybody's old. Everybody is old. Look at some of these ages. Rosa DeLauro, 82. Richard Blumenthal, 79. Joe Courtney, 72. And, of course, the aforementioned Governor Lamont, 71. And you got people who want to take over in their 40s. Now, I know to the kids, 40s kind of old, but, you know, compared to the Democrat Party, for that, this is incredibly young. 40 years old. Now, look, I will tell you this, and I really do believe this. I don't think Connecticut, as a state, wants to give up the state to progressives who want to tax them more. Let me explain why. In Connecticut, the percentage of income paid in taxes varies due to the state's progressive income tax system, which ranges from 2% to 6.99% across seven brackets. Higher income earners pay a larger percentage of their income in state income taxes because the tax rate increases as income rises. For example, single filers with a taxable income of over $500,000 or joint filers with over $1 million, are taxed at the highest rate of 6.99. Now those in the lower bracket who make between $10,000 a year to $20,000 a year, those folks are taxed at 2%. You also have to consider that Connecticut has an effective property tax rate of 1.78%. And then they've got the sales tax of 6.35, which is relatively low. 6.35 is kind of low. Other states even higher. That can disproportionately affect households. Of course, if you make less money, you're paying that kind of tax, it's going to affect you in a bad way. But higher income earners often face a higher overall tax burden due to the progressive income tax and phase out of exemptions, with the state tax burden ranking amongst the highest nationally at 15.4%. Now think about this, folks. If Connecticut gives the keys to Elliot, he's going after those, the old guard and the old folks and the people who make a comfortable living. Probably close to retired, if not retired. People who have stock options. He's looking to go after their capital gains. All of that stuff. And I think that the people in Connecticut are quite comfortable. Now, if Lamont decides to run, without a doubt, I think it'll be a tight race, but I think he wins nonetheless. I don't think that Connecticut wants the kids to be in charge because they know what it means. They raise these kids to go after them. They know that. They raise these young folks to go after them indiscriminately. They won't look at those wealthy folks in Connecticut and say, yeah, you know what? You raised me to be a socialist tax and spend guy, so I won't harm you. No, no, no. They're coming for you. You know it. That's where they're going to keep them there. Lamont, that is. Let's go to the phones. Lisa is in Cheshire. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine.
I just had a quick comment to make. First of all, thank you so much for your show. I love listening to it for years. I went right from Rush to a couple others and you, and I love it.
Thank you. I love it.
You know what the problem is? You're telling it like it is and everything, but the people who should be listening are not listening to this station.
Democrats.
Because, you know, it's Republican. I just don't understand. The Democrats are like diseased or something. I don't know. They have a mental disorder. How
Lisa,
could
they
be
listen?
Like this? I don't know.
Lisa, you can trust me. They listen, and I'll tell you why. Remember, they don't trust their own kind. And I mean that literally. They don't trust Democrats anymore. They can't trust them with the truth. And guess what? They're an outraged party, right? We know that, right?
Yes.
What are they looking for?
Angry.
They're looking to be outraged and angry at someone. So if they're listening to somebody who's doing like a circle poll with like their same ideology, talking about the things that they already agree with, the echo chamber, what's that going to do? That doesn't soothe them at all. So they're looking for somebody to be outraged to. So they quietly and begrudgingly listen to conservatives. They listen to Fox News. And then they sit around and they go, did you hear that Republican the other day? I even had one person, Lisa, when I first joined here, some obvious Democrat woman came on the air and said that when she found out that I was black, she realized that I had Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh,
I almost fell out of my chair.
You were saying that you had some good shows on. Let me tell you that right now.
So I totally get, I know what they listen to and why they listen to it. But again, look, I've got people who are in my chat room who are diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats all the time. They do listen. But remember why they listen. It's not to learn anything. It's to be, opposition to it. They want to know what the so-called enemy is talking about and what they're up against. And this is probably, if you've listened to me long enough, that has always been what I've said on the show, is that, look, it's not like Democrats or liberals or progressives don't leave their playbook out for us to view. They do. We need to utilize it to fight back. And I'm telling you, that's the reason why we've been winning so successfully lately.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, I love it. I think he's the greatest, Trump.
Lisa, it's an everyday struggle. I know sometimes it can get exhausting. You know, I say to some people go, when are we just never going to have to do this? And I'm like, it never ends because, you know, what did Ronald Reagan say, right? Freedom is only a generation away. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's only a generation away from being gone. So it's just something, because there are people out there who have a different way of looking at the world, and some of them don't like the freedoms that we have. They just don't.
No. Yeah. They're always going to freaking... I mean, when Biden became president, we as Republicans were upset, but we didn't go around acting like idiots.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know,
we just shut off and that's it.
I always consider Republicans should adapt a line from one of my favorite movies called Dodgeball. Have you ever seen that movie, Dodgeball?
I did.
Okay.
I'm going to tell my husband we'll watch it.
Okay, go watch it. It's a comedy. It's pretty good. Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn. But in the beginning of the movie, White Goodman, played by Ben Stiller, runs a gym called Globo Gym. And their tagline is, we're better than you, and we know it. And I think that should be the tagline for Republicans. We're better than you, and we know it. Because, again, when we lose, sure, we're angry, but we accept it. And we go back in and we regroup and we figure out how to win the next time. That's what winners do. You know, sore losers do what we're seeing today.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
It's terrible. I mean, I'm tired of hearing about them and shouting and singing songs and yelling and swearing. And who's that guy? I can't remember him now. He just got fired or something. He's like, F you.
Oh, yeah. Stephen, I was just talking about him. Stephen Colbert. Yeah, again, like I said, I told everybody that's what they're giving this guy 6 months to do exactly that. He's going to go on the air and he's going to come back every day and he's going to curse out the president, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the show's over. That's it.
Yeah.
Show's over. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Good talking. Appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just, these Democrats, the infighting and this nonsense about we're a big tent party, nonsense. They're not big tent. They're trying to show that they're big tent. They are overrun with communists and socialists. They are. Because the Democrat way has been taken away from them. And I want you to think about this. Think about this. Donald Trump has taken every ounce of oxygen from what was the Democrat Party for 60 years. With the exceptions of government handouts, everything that was the Democrat Party is no longer owned by them. And instead of embracing any of the policies of Donald Trump, they have become the Democrat Party, not the progressives, not the radicals. The Democrat Party, because they don't have those issues to run on anymore, and because no one trusts them with those issues, they have turned into the We Hate Trump Party. So whatever Trump does, they hate. Anybody who supports Donald Trump, they hate. And when you don't stand for anything and the only thing that you seem to coalesce around is your hatred of Trump, the messaging appears to, I mean, you just lose it. You don't have anything. Ask the Democrat Party what they stand for. And they'll tell you some stupid platitude about we're here for fairness. There's no such thing. Fairness is subjective. What's fair? Who's the arbiter of fair? Who gets to tell us what fair is? It's subjective. What is the objective thing that you stand for? And they can't tell you. Ask any one of them. If you meet up with a Democrat, you're under arrest, ask him, what's fair? Tell him, who defines what's fair? Who's in charge of what's fair? You, me, politicians? If you want fairness, if you want equality, who gets to determine? The party's over. Sorry. The way of the Whigs. Mark my words.